It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Welcome to Visit Moffitt County. This program is a public service announcement opportunity provided by Blizzard Communications. We are grateful for this time for Northwest Colorado citizens to get up to date on what's happening in Moffitt County. As always, we're 5,000 watts that sound like a million. I'll be serving as your host today. My name is Tom Kleinschnitz. I currently serve the people of Moffitt County as director of Moffitt County Tourism. I'm a retired river guide. I held concession permits in Dinosaur National Monument for over three decades. I have a pleasure of speaking to three individuals today. First, we'll have Jeff Comstock, the department head with Moffitt County Natural Resources. Next, we'll have Austin Hill with the Wild Horse Refuge. And then we'll end with Nikki Mowdy. She's a Visit Moffitt County board member and the owner of Seas Off-Road in Craig, Colorado. First up, Jeff. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Tom. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Jeff is an employee of Moffitt County. He runs Moffitt County Natural Resources Department and more. We certainly welcome you today. Before we tear into hearing about natural resources and county business, tell us about yourself. How long have you been in Moffitt County? How long have you worked for natural resources? And how did you come to Craig?
Okay, that's a lot of questions.
You gotcha.
I serve under the Moffitt County Commissioners, and I actually have worked for about 17 different county commissioners over the last 24 years. I've spent most all of my time on public lands policy and management. That'll include things representing the city, or the city, the county, the citizens of Moffitt County on issues such as energy, agriculture, land management issues. We take a look at the federal land plans out there and decide what the economic and social impacts are going to be in our valley. And I've been doing that for a little over 24 years now. I've spent quite a bit of time on different boards, and one of them that I've served on for almost 20 years now is Secretary of Interior appointment to the Bureau of Land Management's Resource Advisory Council, which is a chartered organization that gets to provide advice to the federal agencies on how they move forward on federal plans. So I've served on that board. I spent quite a bit of time on policy issues for federal lands and natural resources as it affects our citizens.
Well, it sounds like an incredible background, and it sounds like you started in the early 2000s right here in Moffitt County. So quite a storied bunch of work that you've done. And I know you lead the land board in town, and I've personally found that to be a very enlightening group and a group of very knowledgeable people helping direct what happens in Moffitt County.
Yes, that's right. The Moffitt County Land Use Board is one of the neatest boards that work for the county commissioners. They're a voluntary board. They're 14 members. They review federal land management and all kinds of natural resource issues, everything from energy to agriculture to recreation kind of issues. And this is a group of people that volunteer their time in order to provide expertise to the county commissioners. And they have been part of writing the county land use plan in the past. They've offered different policy suggestions to the commissioners on natural resource issues, such as energy and more recently even solar development in the county. They offer a variety of expertise. They review different recreation proposals that come in front of the county. I mean, just a wealth of knowledge. And their seats are three-year terms. And Tom, if anyone listening to this show is interested in serving with the County Land Use Board, every couple years those seats are available for reappointment. And just a phenomenal group of people. They're all volunteer, and they are advisory in nature to the county commissioners. I value that board greatly, and you're right, I have staffed it for the time that I've been here.
Well, great. Let's tear into some individual issues as we kind of march through some of your responsibilities. But I know you've been very active and had a lot of input on the Colorado wolf introduction. And I know a lot of our listeners are fully aware of the reintroduction. Can you tell us the latest news on the wolf and things that Moffitt County citizens should be aware of?
You know, the wolf issue, Tom, is obviously one of the most controversial that we deal with. It's difficult. that proposition, Proposition 114, it passed very narrowly in Colorado. It passed by just barely under 2%. It was highly controversial when it was on the ballot, and I honestly think there was a social education thing that probably caused that initiative to pass. But regardless, we are in a situation where wolves were introduced in Colorado. The first 10 were put on the ground last year, and we've already seen depredations on livestock from those wolves. It's not anything that people are happy about. Moffat County was very active in originally when that ballot initiative passed. The first thing it did was require a wolf management plan to be written for Colorado. We ended up, as one of our county commissioners, Donald Broom, sat on a wolf advisory group. It was known as the stakeholder advisory group. And there were county commissioners from other counties that sat on the technical advisory group, and we had lots of representatives from the ag interests and outfitter interests and stuff that sat on these other boards to develop that plan. And that plan was the core management scheme on how wolves would be managed. I'll tell you, one of the toughest things to see is how quickly wolves have found livestock and depredated on those. It's been I think just this last weekend, I heard about another calf that was taken in the North Park area. It doesn't take much of a Google search for anybody to see the letters that have been written by the Middle Park Stock Growers Association that have asked Colorado Parks and Wildlife to deal with these depredation wolves. And one of the things that's tough is we're not seeing that plan be implemented the way that it was intended. You know, one of the things in there, there was specific language about protecting the livelihoods of agriculture. And as chronic depredating wolves became apparent, they were allowed to be lethally removed. So the wool growers and the stock growers and other ag producers, counties, commissioners, Grand County, Jackson County, these guys have come forward and asked CPW to remove depredating wolves, and it hasn't been done yet. They're battling with this issue on what they define as a chronically depredating wolf. It is unfortunate because politics tie into that greatly. It is not, the governor and the first gentleman were big promoters of this wolf initiative, and it's tough for them to sit there and want to take a wolf the first year that they get introduced. But honestly, I believe that's what needs to happen when they've been these chronic depredators. I think today the Wildlife Commission is considering this issue in, I believe they're in Grand County today having their hearings, and it's a tough issue.
Well, you know, let's just keep informed on what's happening and pray that we don't have too many wolves move into Moffat County. Clearly, the issue needs to be cleaned up. Moving to something that's also fun and not controversy at all, let's talk about water. I understand that water is always going to be a never-ending challenge in our region. Tell us about what this water augmentation requirements are and what citizens should know about the Yampa River.
Sure, you bet. Water. So in about, well, it was exactly March 1st, 2022, the state engineer, which is our regulatory agency for water rights within Colorado, they designated the Yampa River under a term that they call over-appropriated. And really what that meant is there had been a couple calls on the Yampa River, first time in history. And as those calls happen, then at least during the driest portions of the year, basically, the state's saying there's not enough water to go around. Moffat County struggled with that designation big time, and we still do today. We believe that river should not be designated as overappropriated. We have documented letters talking about that and all the reasons that it shouldn't have been designated overappropriated. But the reason, but here's the kicker. Once that designation happens, which the state did on 2022, you can't undo it. And that triggers a set of circumstances that really, I think, most directly affected the ability to drill water wells in our Yampa Basin. It didn't so much affect surface water, ditch water rights, things like that. We're fairly immune to that designation. And to the typical water right system, first in time, first in right, continues on. But what the trigger was that really bothered Moffett County is once a river's over appropriated, if you have tracts of land that are subdivided less than 35 acres after March 1st, after that designation, then you have to have an augmentation plan to drill a water well. And augmentation plans are very big, expensive processes that go through water court, take well over a year to complete. And if you were in a, and so this applies, so this need for an augmentation plan arises if someone subdivides their ground smaller than 35 acres after March 1st, 2022. It doesn't apply to parcels after 35 acres. So if you're a landowner there or larger than 35 acres, if you're a landowner without smaller parcels, if you've got 35 acres or bigger, you can apply for a water well and be just fine. If you have a smaller parcel that's already been subdivided, there are some grandfathering that allows household water wells to be drilled. It doesn't allow lawns to be watered or livestock to be watered now that the river's over-appropriated. So you get this grandfathering clause if you were subdivided prior to March 1st, 2022. But recently, Moffett County's had a handful of subdivisions get approved through the Planning and Zoning Department, and we have to tell them that at this point, there's not an ability to acquire a water well for their smaller subdivision. And so that triggers how do you solve this? What do you do about it? Well, there is a tool called an umbrella augmentation plan that Moffett County commissioners have stepped up and said is critical, and we need to provide that as a county for citizens that want these parcels of land smaller than 35 acres after March 1st, 2022. So we received a grant, Moffett County received a grant that will actually allow an augmentation plan to be developed. And what an augmentation plan is replacing the water that's taken. And so this is very much an engineering plan. This is not so much real life. As far as if you drill a well out in Great Divide, do I really think that's going to affect the Yampa River? Probably not. But from an engineering perspective and from a legal perspective, there has to be an augmentation for that, for every drop of water that gets taken. And so what Moffett County did is we hired Wilson Water Group, and they have walked us through development of an augmentation plan that can be used by the citizens that want to drill water wells on less than 35 acres. That plan is currently in water court. It has to get approved by a judge, and it has to have a backup source of water. We have leased water from the Colorado River District out of Elkhead Reservoir to allow the augmentation of smaller parcels. So Moffett County has stepped forward and said, on behalf of our citizens, we'll go through the work and the effort and the expense to provide an augmentation plan that is an umbrella that will cover the citizens. What it won't cover is if a brand new large subdivision comes in, they'll have to be responsible for their own augmentation water. This is just to cover the single family kind of growth in Moffett County. The commissioners deemed that growth would be healthy, and if we don't foster it by offering some source of a way to drill water wells, then our growth is stifled. So that was a fairly large initiative by the county commissioners, and we're still in the middle of completing it. We hope that there'll be a water available to offer to the citizens at a small cost at the end of the year.
And that will be at the end of this year. So that sounds like it's certainly you guys are looking ahead at trying to in the roadblocks. We're obviously not going to get to everything we talked about today, but I did, you know, we talked about you reporting for us, but tell us about the pump hydro project that is planned for the eastern part of the county. I think a lot of people are very interested in where that is and what it means for the citizens.
Sure. Well, it's very much in its infancy. There's been a preliminary permit filed with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It is not in a final permit by any means at this point, but the company is very positive about developing this project. They've acquired options to purchase land. They've done due diligence when it comes to soil testing and basic engineering work. And we expect by the end of this year there to be a formal application in with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. But it's significant. It's a $2 billion, with a B, dollar proposal. It would create around 600 megawatts of stored energy for 8 hours. It would operate like a big battery. It would take around two reservoirs. The way a closed loop pump hydro project works is it stores water in a reservoir at the top of a mountain. It needs around 1,500 feet of elevation drop. That water is released, goes through a turbine, spins a turbine, creates power for up to 8 hours, and then is pumped from the bottom reservoir back to the top, and that feeds itself. Of course, from a physics standpoint, this does not work, right? You can't pump water to the top of a mountain and create more power than you use to pump it up there. But from an economic standpoint and a price differential standpoint, these projects are becoming more popular. And so they would pump water to the top and have a deal with an electric provider that they would pump at a cheaper rate. They would release water and sell it on the grid at a higher rate. That's how they counteract the physics of a project like this. It is proposed. R Plus Energies is the company that's proposing it. And it has support, I think, both locally and through our elected officials. And it's something that can really help offset a tax base that we'll be losing as Tri-State closes down over time. So it's a project the county has been very supportive of. We actually received a grant to conduct a social economic assessment for the pumped hydro project, and it'll help determine what the true economic and social costs and benefits to this county are. It's a project that we are wanting to very much understand those numbers and understand both the good and bad of it. But it's exciting to see a project of that scale at least be considered in this county.
And another point that I think, as I learn more about the project, the actual amount of water that would be used out of the Yampa River is relatively low.
Actually, it's almost nothing. Once those reservoirs are filled, the only loss is evaporation, annual evaporation, which they expect to be 8 or 9% of the volume of the reservoir. And so we're talking about an alfalfa field taking more water than the pumped hydro project would. And that's the whole nature of the closed loop process. There are other projects out there that are open loop and where water from a river runs through them, spins turbines and stuff. But this one, this kind of a project is incredibly low water consumption.
Great. One more thing I want to talk about today is I understand you put a lot of energy in helping produce a promotional brochure for the Trapper Industrial Park. Tell us about the potential for industry out there.
Well, this was a partnership between, of course, primarily Trapper Mine, the Associated Governments of Northwest Colorado, and Moffat County and the City of Craig. All of us spent a fair amount of time on the phone for quite a while, and I was basically talking with Trapper Mine themselves and saying, hey, after this mine closes, what's the possibility of reusing some of the assets that are out there? There's some world-class assets when it comes to being able to handle big machinery, the shops, the things, the buildings out there. And is there any way it could be repurposed rather than reclaimed completely? And Trapper was very interested. Trapper's management and their board of directors also was very interested in trying to promote that. And so there's a brochure out there that has been talked about for several months now called the Trapper Industrial Park. You can see it online if you go to the Associated Government of Northwest Colorado's webpage. And it lists the assets that are available for a new company to repurpose, everything from building space to energy and water supply. And it's just it's a nice real estate advertisement for a potential future use, and it's a win-win for this community. And I think as economic developers promote that, I think we'll see some interest in utilizing that facility for another purpose. It's still in the promotion stage, but it'll be fun to see what happens from that.
Well, I tell you, Jeff, we're going to have to wind up our conversation today. It sounds like we just got a bunch to talk to you about. Better do another segment with you. How would people reach you at Moffat County? What's your contact information?
My office is in the courthouse, and so telephone number is 970-826-3400, and email is jcomstock@moffatcounty.net. And so I can be reached a number of ways, or you can call the county commissioner's office and they can get a call forwarded to myself.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Mr. Comstock, for joining us today. We'll be taking a short break. Our next guest will be Austin Hill with the Wild Horse Refuge. Thank you, Jeff.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffitt County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
Did you know that noxious weeds are simply non-native plants and that these invasive species outcompete our native vegetation? And unfortunately, these intruders offer little nourishment for our wildlife. For the sake of keeping our incredible natural ecosystem healthy and vibrant, please do everything you can to stop the spread of these non-native noxious weeds. Our wildlife will appreciate your stewardship of their garden. Please visit keepoutwild.com for specifics on noxious weed control.
Chocolate, bacon, naps. Some things in life are so good they can't get any better. Then somebody adds chocolate chips to a cookie and you think, genius. So when you think things can't get any better, just turn the next corner. Someone may be handing out chocolate chip cookies for free. It's the little things that make life happy. A smile, a handshake, the cherry on top. Bank of the San Juans, one big happy little bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Ever hear the expression, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade? That's good stuff, because lemonade is good stuff. But guess what? So is lemon meringue pie. Lemon sherbet. Lemon in your iced tea. So maybe, when life gives you lemons, life just got a whole lot better. It's the little things that make life happy. So enjoy it, one sip at a time. Bank of the San Juans, one big happy little bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Consider Grand Junction. I'm Judy Hofschneider with the Janice Burtis team, your local realtor at RE/MAX 4000. Not only is Grand Junction in close proximity to the Yampa Valley, but it also has a 30% lower cost of living. Grand Junction is the perfect place to live, retire, buy your first home, or to invest. Before planning your move, contact me, Judy, with the Janice Burtis team at 970-260-1801, 970-260-1801, or visit janiceburtis.com. To learn more.
This drive time traffic and weather report is brought to you by Big O Tires, the team you trust. Fellas, what do you see out there?
Yeah, traffic's bad, but it could be worse. You could get a flat, you wouldn't be the first. Go to Big O. Big O Tires. And keep your ride ready. Stop on by. They have trusted help and high supply at Big O. Big O Tires.
Keep your ride at its best with service and pricing you trust at your local Big O Tires, the team you trust.
It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Welcome back to Visit Moffitt County, a program dedicated to getting residents and visitors alike up to speed on what's happening in our region. Our next guest is Austin Hill with the Wild Horse Refuge. Welcome, Austin.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having us, sir.
Austin, before we, tear into hearing about what's going on at the Wild Horse Refuge, tell us about yourself and how you came to work out at the refuge.
Yeah, of course. So I actually work at the Wild Animal Sanctuary, which the Wild Horse Refuge is part of the network of sanctuaries under the sanctuary. So I'm in Colorado. I'm out here in Kingsburg, Colorado, but I do it with the Horse Refuge. But I've been part of the organization for almost 9 years now. Next month will be 9 years for me. I do a lot of PR and education out here and talking to guests and setting up tours and doing tours here at the sanctuary and setting up tours for the Horse Refuge, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But I just came from a big, big family of animal lovers and animal rescue. And then that kind of spilled over into the last decade or so.
Well, I mean, as I understand it, the refuge in near Kingsburg is getting to be one of Colorado's number high visitation attractions. Is that true?
I would say so. I think there are folks coming out every day who have never been here before. But the common thing I hear when people come in, daily, is I've always wanted to be here. I've always heard of it. I haven't come before. And then that's kind of how I was. I had heard about it so many times. And then I visited for the first time 10 years ago, and it changed my life, honestly. So it was like, where have I been all my life? And I think it's a well-kept secret in a funny way, but not a secret, but also just a complete gem of Colorado. So I agree with you.
Well, great. Let's focus on what's happening here in Moffat County. Can you elaborate on the mission of the Wild Horse Refuge and why was it established?
Yeah, of course. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So it kind of starts back just a few years in 2021 with all those horse roundups that were going on with the Sandwash Basin and with BLM. And we have another property called the Wild Animal Refuge down in Southeast Colorado. It's almost 10,000 acres. And we had founders and supporters that reached out to us and said, hey, is there any way you can get some of these horses that are going to these auctions that were once wild? And can you have them run free on your property down south? You have so much land down there. We said, yes, of course. So they donated toward that cause of getting the horses out of those auctions. And we had about a dozen to begin with. And it kind of just been there in all the best ways. And we soon realized that these horses need their own land. They need their own space, their own thing. So fast forward to early 2023, we secured what was the Rio Romo Ranch. Now it's 23,000 acres, and it's all for the horses. As anyone up there probably knows, it's not too far at all from where they got rounded up in the first place. So the topography is nearly identical. It's actually a little bit more moisture where they are now. But yes, 23,000 acres, all for Colorado-born wild Mustangs. And we just really wanted to secure their freedom, restore their freedom. So they might have felt a brief interruption with all those roundups and stuff. But then for any horses in our care, it's just going right back to the wild. We want them to live wildly. And of course, we're going to care for them from afar, make sure everything's going great. But it's just about restoring their freedom. And going back on the land that would feel like home to them.
Well, I think that's part of what our audience would probably like to hear about is that how you care for the horses and what kind of veterinary care are they managed like wild horses, or how is their care performed, and how is their overall well-being out in the new refuge?
Oh man, they're doing it's amazing. It truly is. So we do have vets on staff that are checking on the horses on a regular basis. It is a bit of a wild mindset, so it's a little bit different than caring for the carnivores in other parts of Colorado that we care for. We take a little bit more of a step back in terms of monitoring from afar, making sure everything's going okay, and intervening as needed, because we do want the horses to live wildly, and we don't want to tarnish that mindset for them. Then, of course, you have horses that are coming in, and maybe they're older, or they have their own medical issues, so those are being evaluated, and they wouldn't be... they wouldn't be going out into the big thing until they're absolutely ready to go and healthy and at their feeling their best before they get out there. So it's a little bit of as needed, but also on a constant basis of just really respecting their being wild, but then stepping in as we need to.
Well, and I think that again gets to people trying to understand how the operation is out there. Can you describe a typical day for a wild horse at the refuge and how it differs from maybe their experience in the government holding facilities that are in Canyon City and those kinds of places?
And sure, yeah. I mean, boy, is it different. It's pretty much a 180, right? So, you know, those holding pins and stuff, they have to fit a lot of horses. And it is meant to be temporary, but they're very confining. It's pretty tight. Not much room to roam. And now a typical day at the horse refuge is, again, it's like a 180. It is, they have 23,000 acres to roam as they please. I don't think I've ever even seen them reach the end of it. I mean, it's they can form their own bands. They can do as they would in the wild. They can change bands. They can say, I'm going to this band now. They can kind of, the wild behavior is really incredible. And it goes right back. It's almost like they had someone have a remote and press pause for a brief minute, and now someone's pressing play again. They can run to their heart's intent. They can eat to their heart's intent. They can content. They can swim in these ponds and pools out there. So I mean, it's kind of like basically they're on their own schedules now. They create their own schedules. They live their own lives, and are able to do pretty much whatever they like across 23,000 acres. And we're just kind of making sure everyone is staying safe and great, and just kind of watching life now as it just finds its next chapter for them.
Are you actually feeding these horses?
We don't really need to. We do have the means to, but right now, again, because they're wild, they are just munching away on native grasses out there. There's all kinds of great stuff for them. There's an ocean of it. So we actually can harvest hay on the property in case we need it. But that's sort of having it in case we need a sort of situation. I don't know if you guys remember a couple of years ago, there was pretty crazy snow out there. So in case we got a really harsh winter, we would maybe intervene with some hay out there. But so far, we've not had to. Horses, like in the wild, even during snow, they could find the food and sustenance they need. But we are actually harvesting hay on the property as well to supply for them in case we need it. But they're all doing their own thing and munching away and having full bellies out there.
No, that's good to see healthy horses. I think that was part of the challenge that maybe was up in the basin is getting a healthy herd.
Right.
Can you tell us how individuals or communities can help support the efforts of the refuge, and both financially and maybe other ways that people can support what's going on out there?
I mean, sure. All of our property facility, the four locations we have, including the Wild Horse Refuge, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, which means every single thing we do, when you go on social media and you see a video of a recent horse group that just got rescued and just got released, which actually happened just a few days ago, all of our efforts, rescue efforts, operational efforts, they're all donor-based. They're all just coming from people from all over the world. So, of course, there is the great way to just, if anyone feels that they have the ability to give a gift and toward the horses, please head over to wildhorserefuge.org. Again, any donation, everything stacks up. I know times are tough. Not everybody is able to give probably as much as they would like to, but we do, and we have shirts there. You know, we always encourage folks to find us on Wild Horse Refuge on Facebook or on Instagram or what have you, and share the stories, because you never know whose eyes and ears will be on those things, and spread the word, spread the message about this kind of monumental effort to save and care for these magnificent animals. And if anyone is feeling like they want to support the actual acquisition of the land and continuing to help fund that, we have a program called Becoming a Founder. So anyone that purchases an acre up there, which comes out to $777 an acre, just like at our South property in Southeast Colorado, they become a founder. You're a founder for life. We do have special founder events we do once a year. We have one coming up in mid-September. And again, that's helping that land get paid for the horses. So even if you just follow us or follow the newsletters, if you sign up for a newsletter, again, you can find everything on wildhorserefuge.org.
Great. How can people, the general public, visit the refuge? How do they make arrangements to do that?
Well, it is, thank you for asking. Well, it is closed to the public, but it is open for pre-scheduled tours. And that's where folks will end up talking to me quite a bit, because I schedule all the tours up there. So again, head over to that wildhorserefuge.org. There's a little tab that says visit the refuge. And at the bottom, there's like a contact form. You just quickly put in your name and a quick message and a date you're what you want to look at to visit. And we'll set up a tour for you. The tour takes about 2 to 3 hours. As long as you can get there, we'll take it from there. So you'll ride around with our guide and our tour vehicle. The tours last about 2 to 3 hours. And it's just, again, seeing the horses living wildly out there. I've been reading nothing but rave reviews for the entire experience. Again, just sharing and celebrating their new life. It's a really, really amazing thing. You know, the dates are, or the times are 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. every day. June is pretty full, but there are a few dates available. But we can schedule definitely out in the next few months, July and August, September, and even and October are getting some dates as well filled up. So again, head over to wildhorserefuge.org, hit the visit the refuge tab, and at the bottom there, you can fill out a form to visit, you know, pick a day you want to visit the refuge. Now I'll get those and I'll get back to you and we'll set a time up for you. There's no cost, actually. There's no cost to do this. We do ask for a deposit system to hold your spot on the calendar, but there's no cost. You know, we just, anything helps the animals, and we're just excited that folks are celebrating and supporting their new lives.
Well, it sounds like you've got that organized in a fantastic way. tell us what the biggest challenges are out at the refuge. What efforts are you in the middle of that are the most challenging for your organization?
Well, there's more, you know, there's some logistical stuff, as in it's 23,000 acres worth of a perimeter fencing, of course. It was a ranch before, but we're updating that all the time. So there's securing the funding and all that and the materials to keep upgrading everything and just the foundational elements of those, kind of the structural elements. And that's something that just comes with time. The biggest thing is just kind of watching the Wild Horse Refuge family grow and trying to, again, reach more eyes and ears for folks that maybe want to help support. It is our newest facility, and we've been around. We've been rescuing animals since 1980, started by our executive director and founder, Pat Craig. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably have heard of or gotten the chance to meet him. He's an amazing man. Here we are 44 years later. But on the other side, it is our biggest facility. So then that comes in with, there's that much more funding to help get the land secured. And again, the building costs of things going on in there. So just creating awareness and fundraising, honestly, is the next big hurdle and goal, and watching it grow and watching the family grow. And that also includes social media stuff and people following along with the recent rescues and also updates about how the horses are doing. So I think it's just building that family of supporters that really believe in the mission.
Well, I certainly, you know, relate to 23,000 acres should be a huge challenge to be able to handle the horses. Have you, speaking to Pat Craig, he seemed like he was working hard to work with neighbors in the area. Has that been accomplished and good relations with people that are in have put land around this refuge?
Yeah, you know, it's always when something, you know, this massive moves into town, I think there's always going to be people wondering what's going on and what it's all about. And we've been, Pat's been awesome leading the mission in terms of being so transparent about what we're doing and inviting folks to come and see the horses themselves. Just being there for anyone that wants to talk about it. He's the busiest working guy I know, or any of us know, honestly, out here. He's 7 days a week, and he was just there, I believe, just a day ago or so. But I mean, yeah, so we always encourage folks, if you have any questions, please contact us and come out and see the horses themselves, see the operation, see how beautiful it is. It's just, it takes everybody. And I think relationships, I've been hearing nothing but great things so far. I'm on the other side. I'm on the scheduling tour side. I scheduled many tours from folks in Craig who are thrilled and have loved what they saw and really enjoyed their tour. And then Pat leads the charge on that for sure. And just making sure that everyone is knowing what we're doing and being totally transparent and also just sharing the excitement for it.
Well, certainly the wild horses are an attraction for Moffat County. Social media posts. It is amazing. Stellar pictures and things that go out just get an amazing amount of views and shares. It's something that does have an incredible amount of interest. So as we wind up, just for our listeners, again, tell us the contact information, how they would reach you, and the website for the Wild Horse Refuge again.
Yeah, so the website is wildhorserefuge.org. You can reach out for any kind of horse-related specific stuff on the Visit the Refuge tab on that page. There's a form you can fill out at the bottom of that. We get all of those. If you want directly, my email is pretty easy. It's my first name, austin@wildanimalsanctuary.org. You can email information@wildanimalsanctuary.org. You can give us a call. We're small but mighty staff that love to work with everybody and continuing the mission of all four facilities, but very much especially the Wild Horse Refuge and watching it grow and thrive. And we're excited to see what the years to come will offer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hill, for joining us today. We'll be taking a short break. Our next guest is Nikki Holly with Moffat County Tourism and Seas Off Road. Again, thank you, Austin. Great answers.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffat County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
Do you remember what you were doing during the summer 37 years ago?
If you attended the very first Strings Music Festival here in Steamboat Springs, you most certainly do.
I'm Andrew Zabak for Alpine Bank, member FDIC.
And I'm Katie Carroll, Director of Programs with Strings Music Festival. For 37 years, the festival has brought some of the nation's top 25 orchestras to the Yampa Valley.
My personal favorite at the beautiful Strings Pavilion are the chart-topping contemporary artists. August 18th showcases the Crane Wives.
August 24th are the Fretliners.
And on the 25th, Melvin Seals and JGB.
Tickets at stringsmusicfestival.com.
Alpine Bank thanks Katie and the festival folks for 37 years of fantastic music. We're all very lucky.
We only started this road trip 15 minutes ago. And we have about 6 hours left. But there's a McDonald's right off this exit. And that kind of feels like fate. Deal.
Get the $5 meal deal. choose between a McDouble or a hot and spicy McChicken paired with 4-piece McNuggets, small fries, and a small soft drink. Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Have you been injured in an accident? Are you in pain because of someone else's carelessness or negligence? You may be entitled to compensation for your injuries, medical expenses, and pain and suffering. Attorney Sarah Strom of Ellens & Strom is an experienced personal injury attorney who will fight for your rights. With years of experience and a track record of success involving multi-million dollar settlements, let Sarah Strom and her team at Ellens & Strom focus on the legal process so you can focus on recovery. Don't suffer in silence. Contact Sarah Strom at ellensstrom.com for a free consultation. That's ELENZSTROM.com.
Hi, it's Colleen Miller, Executive Director with the Family Development Center, umbrella organization for Discovery Learning Center Preschool. Do you want a career where you make a difference in someone's life? Discovery Learning Center is hiring for early childhood educators. You can grow your career while working at Discovery Learning Center. We offer competitive pay based on experience, employer-paid health insurance, plus life, dental, and vision, along with retirement plan, tuition assistance. Find out more and apply now at familydevelopmentcenter.org. That's familydevelopmentcenter.org.
It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
We're back with Visit Moffitt County. I'm your host, Tom Kleinschnitz. Our final guest today is Nikki Mowdy. She is on the Moffitt County Tourism Board of Directors and operates Seas Off Road. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're sure a pleasure to have you today. I'm glad we were working yesterday on our budgets and that kind of thing. Now, today we get to talk about some fun stuff. Before we start hearing about Seas Off Road and your role with Moffitt County Tourism, tell us about yourself and how long you've been on this part of Colorado and sort of your history up here.
Well, I was actually born in the area. I moved away to Grand Junction for a few years and decided to bring my kids back about 10 years ago and raise them here. I'm involved in the 4-H program. I help run two family businesses, and I just recently joined the CART team also.
Okay. Tell me about what the CART team is.
The CART team is a community animal rescue team.
Ah, and is that like domestic animals?
It goes for a little bit of anything. Accidents on the road, you know, helping get cattle off the road, helping to, if there's fires or natural disasters, helping to evacuate the animals and put in safety procedures to help the community with their needs on their animal side.
Wow. That's something I wasn't aware of. It sounds like a great effort. How long has that organization been around?
You know, it's always been around, but there's never been a whole lot of participation for it. It's just kind of been Sheriff's Department or, you know, the 4-H office, things like that, just people that pitch in whenever they can. So they're trying to build that and have more interest in it.
Oh, great. Great. Sounds like a wonderful cause. How long have you held your board seat with Moffitt County Tourism and what have you learned while serving with Moffitt County?
I've been on for about a year and a half. I think it'll be 2 years in November. And I'm always blown away at learning at every single meeting. Like, I did not realize how much the Tourism Board does for the community. The promoting of events and things like beautification of our county as far as, you know, new signs and things for tourists to actually stop and see and be interested in our county.
Yep, there's certainly a lot of things, and certainly as we tear through a budget, it's always nice to figure out what your priorities are. and speaking of that, how is Moffitt County Tourism funded?
The 2% countywide lodging tax.
Right, and I understand there's also another lodging tax for the local marketing district, but the Moffitt County Tourism Board works on a 2% lodging tax. That's absolutely on target, and it's not a huge amount of money, but it's sure something that accomplishes many of the things that you outlined prior. Tell us about Moffitt County's mission statement. What is it, and why is this important?
The mission statement is the Moffitt County Tourism Association enhances and markets tourism in an effort to enrich the lives of the visitors and the residents of Moffitt County. And, I mean, it's so important not only to be bringing people in to help all of our local businesses, but it's amazing how many residents don't actually know what Moffitt County really has to offer. So getting that out there, it is very important. Brings families in, brings extra people in, gives people a reason to have staycations instead of leaving also.
Perfect. And it is typical, you know, many people in do not understand what's in their own backyard. And certainly Moffat County has a massive backyard, the second largest county in the state of Colorado. So there's a lot out there, as you and I both know. Let's see. Let's talk about some of the things you've done with the tourism board. You participated in the Denver Adventure Travel Show last year. You were representing the county. Tell us about that experience. What was that like to be in front of people just passing by? And tell us what you learned and what might be something that came from all those potential visitors.
You know, it was an amazing experience. I've never been to something like that before. And to see the amount of people from, you know, just as far as the vendors that were there, the amount of people from all over the place. And the people coming in to visit it, they were from all over too. So it was really neat to see the amount of people that were there and experiences that you could do all over the place. And, you know, the amount of interest in our little corner was amazing. People were interested in hearing what we had to say. They weren't just blowing us off to head off to one of the tropical vendors. You know, they actually wanted to know what we had, and they loved our stickers and our pens and were excited to make that move. And the people that did kind of know the area, it was really funny because it's like they knew where Dinosaur National Monument was, and they knew where Steamboat was. And then there was just this void in between. They were like, oh, there's actually something there.
Well, I think that's my experience at that show also, is that either people knew a little bit about us or know nothing at all. So it was wonderful to see your enthusiasm at that show and be able to point out some things and get that map out and just start addressing some things. And I really enjoyed your expertise too. You know, there was a question about horses and how horses are treated, and you have a tremendous background there and were able to answer some of the wild horse questions and how a domestic horse might be managed.
I love being able to talk about something that I know, you know, something where I actually have footing in.
Well, you really dove in there, and you were a delight to work with at that show. And again, it was something to have lots of people coming through from all over the place. And many of our friends in Denver just simply do not know where we are. When we say Moffat County, they just sometimes have a confused expression on their face. But
that's for sure. Or they wanted to say, oh, you mean Moffat Tunnel. No, different place.
Yep, that's often something that we deal with that one. Recently, PBS, the Public Broadcasting System, sent a film crew out to Moffat County. And you were part of helping that film crew. Tell us how you helped with the project and your overall impression of what PBS did with us.
It was such a cool adventure. You know, all adventures have a trying moment, but it was really great. We loaded up two UTVs and a horse, and we ended up not using the UTVs, just ran out of time. I don't think they had a true understanding of how vast Moffat County is, but most people don't, you know. But we got to use the horse and got some really great shots, and he was an absolute star of the show. And it was really neat to see the process of building this and all the different aspects they had of it. And, you know, they're learning at the same time of it. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah, they were actually out for the horse drive, and I think that was part of why they really wanted to have a horse around for Connor Hall to be on and for you to provide that. Your horse's name again was?
Smokey.
You got old Smokey. He was a durable man and did absolutely great. I was particularly impressed when Connor was on Smokey and we were in the town of Maybelle, and I was amazed Smokey just didn't take off with the rest of the horses on the drive as they came through town.
Yes, and I had forewarned him. I said, you know, he's a great horse, but I don't know what he's going to do. And Connor says, no worries, I'm holding on tight. So that was great. But it was so cool. I was in awe, you know, something that he had never been exposed to really, and he did great. And, I mean, just like he just knew to strut in front of the camera.
Well, he did a great job. And again, he had Connor Hall, the outdoor recreation director for the state of Colorado, on board. And that was quite the experience in many ways. But your contribution to having Smokey out there was priceless. And we're looking forward to PBS airing that sometime this fall. All right. So as we grow in the tourism industry, being visitor ready is really important. And Moffat County obviously has some challenges being visitor ready. But you have a company that sees off-road that offers services to the public. Tell us about the services, who's involved with this company, what your assets are.
Okay, so Seas Off Road, we're a UTV rental business, and it was started by my father, John Cromer. And so it's John Cromer and myself and Cindy Nichols, and we rent UTVs, of course. So we have Razors and Rangers, and we have trailers. And what makes us unique is not only do we rent the trailers, but if needed, because a lot of tourists come in with things that can't pull trailers, I do delivery. And I deliver anywhere. I've had calls clear up to Walden. I've had, you know, Big Red Park was a lot last summer. Then we go anywhere from Sandwash to Duffy Mountain to some things down in Rio Blanco County. And I keep a really flexible schedule so that way I can accommodate the tourists so that way they can see whatever they need to see during their trip here.
And so this is not confined to just the hunting periods of time. It's anytime these vehicles are available for rent.
Year round.
Year round. That's just a wonderful thing. I've seen these machines, and I think it would be worth getting on one and before investing in what they cost. There's certainly a big investment to own one of these things.
It very much so is, yes.
And I can imagine having them in a rental fleet must be challenging in having them all intact and putting them back together when they have some challenges.
Yes, I tell you what, I have learned a lot. We've always had one out at the ranch just to use around, but I've never had to, you know, maintenance them necessarily or keep up on them and do a lot of detailing them because I want them to look nice for customers. And oftentimes when they come in, they're very, very muddy. So learning all the different ways of cleaning those and trying to keep them clean. And, you know, we have so many different areas that people take them to, so you never know if it's coming back covered in mud or 4 inches of dust from out of the sand dunes.
Yep, and we've got it all in Moffat County. If there's a way to get it dirty, we've got it. Does Seas Off-Road have projections of the future? What are your thoughts about what you guys will be offering to the public as your company matures and takes off?
So towards the future, we are looking to have track machines to make things more usable during the winter time because we do have such a long winter. So that's something we're looking forward to. Another thing that we've discussed is actually doing guided tours. We don't at the time, but there's a lot of people that come in that are not quite comfortable operating the machines on their own. So as we progress, we are looking forward to doing guided tours and just expanding a little bit more.
Well, certainly that goes with being visitor ready, and obviously people in tourism need each other, and having lots of product out there is meaningful to restaurants, hotels, everyone. So it's all one organism, and having an operator like you and your father and your other partner coming together on this, I think it sounds like it's a visitor ready operation, and it's going up and out with a lot of new product.
Yes, definitely hope so.
So how can people contact you concerning Seas Off Road, or if they need to just contact you about tourism issues in general?
So they can get a hold of us for Seas Off Road. We have a website, which is csoffroadrentals.com. And then they can also contact us by phone and text at 970-270-5755.
Well, great. Is there anything else we should know about Seas Off Road or your perception of tourism in general?
I just think that people need to keep in mind that Moffat County has such a vast area and such a varied topography that there's always something different to see.
Lots of opportunities out there. Well, thank you, Ms. Mowdy, for joining us today. This has been another edition of Visit Moffitt County. If you or your organization would like to participate in future broadcasts, contact me at Moffitt County Tourism. In Craig, Colorado, our number is 970-824-2335. For more information on Moffitt County, including important upcoming events, you go to Moffitt County online at visitmoffittcounty.com. Again, we thank Lizard Communications for this public service announcement. Good day. Well, thank you very much, young lady.
Thanks for listening to Visit Moffitt County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.